It is the most extraordinary story, isn't it? Jesus' resurrection. For those women who were there at the tomb that Sunday morning, everything had begun well, but now there was deep disappointment. Hopes had been evacuated, dreams shattered, and expectations dashed. And for them, the community that they'd been part of for the last 3 years had been disbanded. It was dispersed, and it was deeply discouraged. Now, we could almost find ourselves using exactly those same words about ourselves in the lockdown and in the social isolation that we're facing at the moment. And so it's not difficult for us to understand what it must have felt like for them that first Easter day. And what primarily is being challenged here in this passage is our understanding of the underlying realities of life. These women are having to come to terms with the question of whether there is any hope beyond death, whether death does have the last word, whether it has the final say. It's a question that many are wrestling with us around us today as well. Death has been so much in the news. People are dying so sadly in so many of our hospitals around the country. And we're facing a reality that is often tucked away and hidden. And these women were facing that reality too. Is there hope? Can there be hope in the face of death, which seems so final? And for them, just as for us, fear abounds. People are terrified, aren't they? Whether it's in the supermarket queue, irrationally losing their temper with somebody who just deigns to come 5 feet close to them rather than six, or whether it's fear because a loved one or a friend has caught the coronavirus, whether it's fear because we are vulnerable and we don't know what it would mean if we were to catch it. Fear abounds. And in a world that is often so superficially happy, the fact that fear has come to the surface and so obviously now is unsettling for us. And so when Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," we have to listen. For if someone has the answer to fear, then we want to hear. And as I was saying earlier, the wonderful thing that Jesus brings is that capacity, in spite of circumstances, not to be afraid. And it gives us the basis for that lack of fear. It is the fact that he has risen, and particularly that he's risen just as he said he would. There are so few people that we can trust, so few news outlets that it's easy to trust. There's so much fake news around, so much scaremongering, that when somebody is heard to have a word that is true, then he's worth listening to. And Jesus has demonstrated to these women that his words are true. He said he would rise. They couldn't believe it or didn't even get their heads around it before he died. But now they're reminded that he said he would rise and that he has risen just as he said. They have someone who can help them not to be afraid, because they have someone who speaks the truth in the middle of unsettling circumstances. But secondly, that second time where Jesus himself says to the women, "Do not be afraid," is wonderfully reassuring too. When we face the situation we're in at the moment, there seems no clear way of coming out of it. Even if lockdown as it is were to finish, it's not going to finish completely. We face months, even perhaps even years, of a completely different way of behaving socially. And there is much uncertainty about what the toll of that will be on human life, on our economic situation, and the impact that will have on so many. And here is Jesus saying, "Do not fear. I can take you beyond that to a future that I have secured." It is wonderful the way he speaks to them. "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, them as well, to go to Galilee. There they'll see me. There is a future with me, a future back in the place where you were before the crucifixion and the resurrection, and yet in a completely different place altogether." And I guess that's the question for us today. Is Jesus inviting us not to be afraid? This Easter day, when there is so much to be fearful of, for ourselves personally, for others, is Jesus inviting us not to be afraid? Perhaps not primarily about the pandemic, fearful though we may be about the implications of that for us and others. But isn't Jesus inviting us not to be fearful about our own death, about judgment? Very striking, on the way to the cross, Jesus speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem, and he tells them not to weep over him, but to weep for themselves. In other words, he says, I'm not interested in your sentimental concern for me. I'm far more concerned that you have open eyes to the judgment that you will face if you do not turn to me and find forgiveness in me. We are rightly fearful if we are relying on all we are ourselves and all we do ourselves and all we've achieved ourselves to satisfy God, because we can never do it. And we ought to fear him for that and for the judgment that will ultimately come. But wonderfully today, Jesus offers an invitation not to be afraid. We have no need to be afraid, he says, for he has done it. Sin has been defeated. Death has been conquered. And the resurrection proves it. A future of restored right relationship with God, both for today and for eternity, beyond all this life can offer, is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he appeared to the women, they came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. And perhaps that is the invitation for us today. Is today the day you need to come to Jesus? In a way, to come down on your knees before him and acknowledge him not as a guide for life who has some bright ideas, but as the Lord and Saviour who you desperately need. Jesus invites us to come to him, to know the wonder of sins forgiven today, but also to know the confidence and certainty of an eternal future. It is a confidence and a sure hope that changes all that we're going through at the moment. For we find ourselves not fearing all that our circumstances around us because of the pandemic deliver, but instead holding on to Jesus, who is certain and sure and will take us to a future beyond it, even should we die. Jesus invites us to come to him on bended knee, to acknowledge our sin, but to find in him the Saviour and the Lord, who he wonderfully can be for us and invites us to trust him for. It's very striking, isn't it, as well, as a postscript, that the women on both occasions that they're told not to be afraid are told to go and find others and include them in all that Jesus is offering. And so it's true for us, isn't it, that if we're already those who've turned to Jesus and know him, we are to be those who go out and tell the good news to many who perhaps are still fearful. What a wonderful thing it would be this Easter if people's fear because of the pandemic turns into a realisation that there is a greater judgment to be feared, but also a greater Saviour who can defeat it. As we've been reminded by our Sovereign just in these last hours, as dark as death can be, and it is indeed very dark for some at the moment, for those working at the forefront of the health services, for those who've lost loved ones, as dark as death can be, light and life that come through the Lord Jesus Christ are greater. So please today, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid, for he is one you can trust. He is one who knows he is able to forgive you today, but to be that sure hope for the future in these uncertain times. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that his light and life shines even in the darkness of the days that surround us. And we pray that our confidence would not be in all the material things that the news is full of, whether it's PPE or vaccines, but our confidence would be in the one who is able to deliver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who secures life not just beyond a pandemic, but beyond the grave. And we pray that we would answer his invitation today, that we might not be afraid. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.